Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, radio show right here on the Spirit Live Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate you being here on today. We want to apologize for the technical difficulties at the beginning, in Jesus' name, but getting them all squared away. In Jesus' name, amen. I thank God, first of all, I want to thank God for being here in Jesus' name. I want to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. in Jesus' name, who is the head of my life. In Jesus' name, I want to give honor to the watching on the wrong of this network. In Jesus' name, Apostle Cook, in Jesus' name, God bless you. In Jesus' name, also giving honor to all of the Spirit of Life family. In Jesus' name, those that will be listening in on today and those that won't be, will be thanking God for each and every one of you. And certainly, last but not least, I want to give honor to my pastor and my first lady and my church family, Pastor William A. Tuggle III and my first lady, Cosette Trotman Tuggle. Amen. We thank God for you. We praise God and the whole entire Triumph and Faith Apostolic Assembly family. Praise God for you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start off because if you have followed my post on Facebook and if you followed me on Facebook or whatever, I had a lesson plan and the Lord changed it in the middle of the week. And the Lord will do that sometimes. Amen. The Lord will. I know in my years, not many, many years, not as many years as my father or Apostle Cook or Bishop Carver, any of those great men and women of God have been in the ministry for I haven't been in the ministry as long as they have, but the years I have been in ministry, there's only been a couple of times where the Lord has changed the thing that God wanted me to do. And on today, I posted at the beginning of the week that we were going to be talking about angelology. And the Lord, in the middle of the week, I do Facebook Live prayers. And so during those prayers, the Lord said, change the lesson for today. Change the topic. And I began to ask the Lord what he wanted me to change it to. And he said, well, I will give it to you. He said, I'll give you the topic. And in prayer, he gave us the topic today. And the title of this topic today is I'm dwelling in my blessing. I'm dwelling in my blessing. When we look at the word blessings and we think about blessings, we think about most people, they think about the first thing you think about is the materialistic things that we have on this earth. We think about the cars, the clothes, the money, and all this stuff. We think about in ministry, we think about going into higher heights and deeper depths and going higher, being less elevated in ministry. Well, when you dwell in the blessing, when you can say, I'm dwelling in my blessing, most people think about the blessings before they think about the one who's blessed them. They give glory and honor when they get the blessings. They sometimes forget, I'll say it that way, they sometimes forget where the blessing came from. And some in the church, they'll get big-headed. I've seen people in ministry get big-headed because they've been elevated and they think that they're the biggest thing since sliced bread, and their title gets to their head. I've seen where people have gotten materialistic stuff and they forget, and they start treating that blessing like it's a god. They ask the Lord to bless them with a new car, and they'll say, well, Lord, if you bless me with this car, I will go pick up the saints for church and do this and do that. And then once they get the blessing, they turn around and forget the vow that they made to God. Sometimes we have people that forget that they are blessed. See, there's different avenues to this. There's different avenues to this. See, we have certain people that forget about what God has brought them from. Some people forget that they're going through an issue right now. They feel like, oh, God, I don't think I can make it through this. But they have to think about where they've been. They have to start thinking about, instead of focusing on the problem, they need to focus on the blessing that God has blessed them with. They mostly think about what they don't have, and they forget about what they do have. So today, we're going to turn to Psalms 91. Psalms 91, verses 1 through 10. Amen. And then we're going to go to a favorite passage of scripture that I love and that I quote a lot because I love doing it. Amen. And that's Psalms 34, verse 1. Amen. And we're going to look at these verses in Psalms 91, and we're going to break these verses down today. Today is more of a teaching type thing than expounding. It's a teaching type thing because sometimes we do forget, and it's a very serious. Now, I know you might say, well, you just said, the title of it is Dwelling in My Blessings, and you think like this is going to be a jump, you know, you're going to be jumping up and jumping around and start praising, and I want you to. But this is a time for us to think about it. To just sit there and think. Amen. Amen. We're going to start at Psalms 91, verse 1. And it reads, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrows that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my fortress, even the Most High, thy inhabitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now I'm going to go to Psalms 34. And these are after I get through reading this, I'm going to break these verses down and show why the Lord is having us think about dwelling in our blessings. Amen. That's Psalms 34, just one verse out of Psalms 34. Amen. Psalms 34, verse 1 reads, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, we go back to Psalms 34. I want to hit on that first verse in Psalms 91. Psalms 91. Because even in the first verse of Psalms 91, it says a lot about where we should be in our walk with Christ. It says a lot where what we should be doing to receive the blessings from God. It says a lot on who we should be, who we should be serving. And you might say, well, how do you get all of that out of that one verse? out of that one sentence, how do you get all that out of that one little sentence? Because it reads, and I'm going to read it again, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, when you go into I'm dwelling in my blessings, when we talk about the blessings of God, and we talk about the he that dwelleth in the secret place, when you look at the secret place and you look at the title of this topic today, these two go hand in hand. The reason why these two go hand in hand is because, number one, you have to get to the secret place to be able to dwell in blessings. There are some blessings that are conditional, and there are some blessings that are not conditional. If we look in the book of Judges, we see a man by the name of Gideon and his army. And the Lord had a plan for Gideon to take out the Midianite army. If Gideon did not follow this plan that God set up for his life or for his army, he would not have been able to take the Midianite army. The blessing in that whole thing with Gideon was the win against the Midianite army. But there was a condition. The condition was that Gideon had to follow the procedure that God laid out for him and Gideon's army. That is a blessing that is conditional, as we see in the book of Judges. If we go to the book of Matthew, in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Now, I want you to see this. Matthew, chapter number 6. These are blessings that are not conditional. Some blessings are conditional and some blessings aren't conditional. And this is what the Lord gave to me when I was studying this. In Matthew, chapter 6, verse 32. And it reads, "For after all these things do the Galileans seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things." Amen. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, verse 33 is a conditional. But verse 32 is not conditional. You might say, well, how is verse 32 not conditional, but verse 33 is conditional? Because there are some things that God blesses us with that he knows that we have need of. He knows that you have need of food. He knows that you have need of money. He knows that you have need of a place to stay. So he makes a way for you, amen? He makes a way for you to pay your bills. He knows what you have need of, the needs. He said he will supply all of our needs according to what? His riches and glory, amen? The Bible also says, "I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." If we are in the secret place, see, some people that are not in the secret place are being blessed because he said he reigns over the just and the unjust. There are some people that are in blessings, that are receiving blessings, but they're not receiving the full package of the blessings that God has ordained for their life. So they're not dwelling all the way in the blessings. They're only in some of the blessings. They're living beneath their privilege. But those ones that are in the secret place have all of the benefits of God, have all of everything that God has ordained for their life. Because why? They're in the secret place. This is why the people that are in the secret place can say, I'm dwelling in my blessings. This, see, when you say I'm dwelling in my blessings, it goes deeper than just the blessings. It goes that when you are going through a test in a trial, you can say I'm dwelling in my blessings because I have a peace that's on the inside of me that where most people that does not have a relationship with Christ, the ones that don't have a relationship with Christ, the things that I'm going through might end up tearing that person that does not have a relationship with Christ, might end up turning their mind all around, might mess their minds up, going topsy-turvy with their mind. They going crazy. But you, the ones that have a relationship with God, you're at so much peace. Why? Because you're in the secret place. What is the secret place? The secret place is being in God's presence. And yes, you can be in God's presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that right there is a blessing. Being in the presence of God is a blessing. That's why I say I'm dwelling in my blessings. The blessings, or the blessing, is dwelling in the presence of God. See, this can be taken, this topic can be taken either which way, both ways really. We have people that are so fixed nowadays that they're fixed on, I'm ready to start that new business. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to do this. But are you ready to go into the secret place so you can get to that stuff? See, the Bible says, and I said that to say this. I said, are you ready to get to the secret place so you can get all that stuff? Because you have to have a mindset for that stuff. You have to have a godly mindset because everything that we do should pertain to God. Some people are lost. Let me say it again. Everything that we do should be a witness for God. Every place that we go should be a blessing unto the Lord. That's why I read Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Everything that I do should bless God. And in return, I can dwell in his presence, which means the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I have the liberty to have peace. I have the liberty to have joy. I have the liberty when I'm in his presence, I'm blessed. When I'm tapped into the presence of God, I said it on Facebook this past week during the Facebook Live prayers. I said we have to be content, in which we do have to be content. But we have to be close to God. There's a word that I'm looking for, and it's not coming to my mind right now, but we have to be so consistent. We have to be consistent with God. Thank you, Jesus. That's the word I'm looking for. We have to be consistent with God so God can be consistent with us. Because we can dwell in the blessings when we get to the secret place. We see a lot of people are not dwelling in their blessings. They love the blessings, but they're not dwelling in them. They're not dwelling in the full package of the blessings. This might seem crazy. This might seem a little bit crazy, but Everybody is focused on the blessings of God. I hear preachers say, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. Oh, you have an anointing on your life, and God, yeah, you might have an anointing on your life, but are you living up to that anointing? Have you tapped into that full anointing of God to where you can be in the presence of God and where you're so close to God that you can cast out devils? Because that's a blessing. See, it goes way beyond cars and clothes and stuff. See, I already knew. People thought I was going to be talking about cars and clothes and money and all that. No. Because all that stuff will pass away. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. He going to provide that. If you tap into the secret place of the Most High, then you'll get that stuff. That stuff will come later. All of the natural, all the materialistic stuff, that's not even the cake of the blessings that God has got for us. That's not even the icing on the cake. That's the cherries on top. The cake is dwelling, the cake of the blessing is dwelling in His presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's the start of the blessings. That's where God, because, and you know what? I'm going to give you an example. And I love using these young men, the three Hebrew boys. They were dwelling in their blessings. Why? Because they tapped into the presence of God. They were in the presence of God. So much so. And it's a mind thing. It's a mind thing. It's a moral discipline to tap into the secret place. There's so many people. See, what we have to do to get to that secret place, we have to. There's some people that don't pray. They only pray when they need something. They ain't falling on their face. And God has said, yeah, I'm going to bless you. Yes, I'm going to give you this, but I want something from you. And I want you to really, really think about this. Whether you saint or sinner today, I really want you to think about, are we really close to God like we say we are? Are we really tapped into the secret place of the Most High? Are we really abiding under the shadow of the Almighty? Is there more that I can do? For the saint of God, is there more that you can do? Is there more prayer time you could have? Is there more Bible reading you can do? That's what I mean. It doesn't necessarily mean you're sinning. Is there more, instead of you praying for an hour, can you go an hour and a half? Can you go that extra mile? Is there more that we can do? The Bible lets us know that whatsoever we do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is not a topic to make us jump and shout. This is not a topic to, well, I'm dwelling in my blessings. The blessing, the main blessing of dwelling in my blessings is tapping into the secret place of the Most High God, is being in His presence. And when you are in His presence, there are other blessings that you shall receive. Now, watch this. Our sins can keep us not only from blessing, but it can keep us out of the presence of God. Uh-oh. How do we know this? You're saying that my sins can keep me away from the presence of the Lord? Yes. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. And I'm being fed by the Holy Ghost today. This is not, like I said, this is not a jumping and shouting message today. This is not a jumping and shout. I'm here to open up our minds to say, are we really tapped in? Or are we just doing this for cliche? Is our praise higher than our life? You might say, well, what do you mean is my praise higher than my life? Is your praise higher than what you live in? Can you do more for him? Can you fast more? Can you pray more? Can you get, because there's no such thing. I used to say that all the time. There is no such thing as getting too close to God. No such thing. There is no such thing. If you want to be so close to God, God will allow you to come unto him. He said, whosoever will let him come. Whosoever will let him come. Amen. He didn't say, well, if you getting too close to me, so I can't accept you today. He said, whosoever will let him come. But we have to understand. We have to realize. We have to realize, us as people of God and us that are not in Christ, we all have to realize, we all have to come to the full knowledge of the truth. And the truth, the reason why we have to come into the full knowledge of the truth is because the Bible says the truth shall set us free. Amen. And how, what is the truth? Him. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life. So when we tap into him, when we get into that secret place, we are coming unto him. Now watch this. In, I believe it's Isaiah 59. I'm going to turn. Yes, it's Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verse number 2. I said it earlier, I said it just a few minutes ago, that your sins can stop and hinder your blessings. It can stop you from being in the secret place. It can stop you from being in the secret place. And I'm saying this to say something else, but I'm going to read this verse to you. In Isaiah 59, verse number 2, it says, but your iniquities have separated you. Have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear. The iniquity, see, even just thinking the wrong thought is a sin. Now, I'm not saying people are sinning, but this is why we need to come to Jesus every day and repent. During the Facebook prayers, the Lord said, repent. He wants the church to repent. Not necessarily saying that one or two or three people are sinning, that's in the body of Christ, but the whole body to repent. Because God has told us to do some things that we have not done yet. But the only way we can dwell in the blessings of God is that we tap into the secret place, and the only way we get into the secret, see, when we, only very few can get into the secret place. You have to have a spiritual discipline to get into the secret place. Now, everybody is welcome into the secret place. We just read it in Isaiah 59, verse 2, that our iniquity can keep us out of the secret place.
I know, and I'm going to give you an example. Sometimes, and I'm going to use me, sometimes the Lord will tell me, Adam, I want you to pray. And I'm like, Lord, I really don't, and this is the midnight hour. And I've done this before. Lord, I'm tired, and I really don't feel like praying right now. I mean, I could pray from my bed. No, Lord said, get up. Adam, get up. Don't you know that praying in the midnight hour, that's the best time to pray? I'm going to be honest with you. Praying in the midnight hour is the best time to pray. It's one of the best times to pray. You might say, well, why is that? Because that's when the devil reigns. That's when the devil comes at people with more havoc in the midnight hour because you sleep. He's playing with people's minds. There's a war going on in the midnight hour. There's a war. Hey, if you don't believe me, I'm getting this from the Spirit of the Lord. There's a war in the midnight hour. Throughout the night, the devil is battling with people. And guess what? The reason why I say it's good to pray in the midnight hour, because you can go in intercessory prayer for others. You can get so deep in prayer that you can save somebody's soul from hell. That's why I said, are we doing more? Are we really tapping into the secret place? Are we really dwelling in our blessings? I'm dwelling in my blessing. When you say, when you make that statement, I'm dwelling in my blessing, you are tapped into the secret place. You are doing everything you can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever the Lord says, send me, I'll go. For God I live and for God I die. Whether my mother and father forsake me, you will take me up. That's what you're saying, what I'm saying. I'm dwelling in my blessings. When you say, I'm dwelling in my blessings, you are saying, God, I want everything that you have for my life because I'm dwelling in my blessing. I'm dwelling in my blessings. When I'm going through testing trials and everything in my mind is going this way and that way, I don't lose my mind because I'm dwelling in my blessings. Because the Bible says, thank you, Jesus. I'm getting stirred up in here. The Bible lets us know that he will keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. That is you tapping in to the secret place of the Most High God. That is us tapping in, even when we're going through. That's why I can say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I can bless him. I can still give him glory in the midst of my test, because my mind, I got a blessing because he's kept my mind stayed on thee. That's tapping into the secret place. And watch this. When you are tapped into the secret place, watch what will happen. Watch what will happen. Let's go back to Psalms 91 real quick. Let's go back to Psalm 91 real quick, because I want to show you what happened. We read it, but I'm going to show you what happens. When you really, really get tapped in to the secret place. Now, we read verse 1, and it says in verse number 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Now, let's look at that. Let's look at verse 2. I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, he is. I'm talking about Jesus. I will tell people, I will show off Jesus, that he is my refuge. The battle does not belong to me. The battle belongs to the Lord. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. In 1 First Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says that we are a holy nation. The kingdom of God is that holy nation. You have been engrafted in to that nation. You're that peculiar people. You're that royal priesthood. You are in the secret place. You are tapped in. Amen. So I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. This is the things that come when you get tapped in. These are the things that will happen to keep you dwelling in your blessings. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Why do I keep my trust in Him? Because I know that He can do all things but fail. Amen. Nothing is better than Him. Campbell's Soup used to say, Campbell's Soup is good. Nobody is better than Jesus. Me being in the secret place with Him is nothing better than that. Mama can't do it. Daddy can't do it. Nobody can love me like Jesus. That's why I'm able to say I'm dwelling in my blessing. Because as long as I got Him, I got everything. Amen. The Bible lets us know taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in Him. Amen. That's two verses where we are trusting in Him. We can trust in Him because we know that He'll be our refuge. We know that He'll be our fortress. Amen. And verse number 3 says, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He's going to deliver you. He's going to bring you out of everything that you go through. This is in the secret place. This is being tapped in. Are we really doing what we need to do? Are we really? I want you to think about this. Because I've thought about this all week long. Like, I'm like, Lord, what do you mean about this secret place? We read it as a cliche. We read these verses as a cliche in the church. You know, when we're up there before praise service, we have the scripture and we come up there and we read it, and we really don't understand what God is trying to tell us because it's deeper. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Because God gives us word in His word. When we read His word, He gives us words. He gives us a word. Come on here. He gives us a word in the word. Because why? He is His word. He established His word while you're reading the word of God. He establishes His word by giving you a word. Because He is the word. That might sound that's deep for some folks, and that might sound a little bit crazy to some folks. But let me tell you something. When you get deep into the word of God, you're dwelling in your secret place. When you get deep into fasting, you're dwelling in the secret place. When you get deep into prayer, you're dwelling in the secret place. And then you can say, as Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together. All things will work together if you're dwelling in the secret place. Why? Because these verses let us know that it will. Verse number 4 says, He shall cover thee with His feathers. That means the devil can't touch you because you're in the secret place. The devil might try to poke at you. The devil might try to pry you out. Look at Job. Great example. The devil had to go before God before he could touch Job. And the devil said, and I'm paraphrasing, y'all, just remove your hand and I guarantee you I can get it. I guarantee you I can get it. He'll curse you to your face. But Job held his integrity. And God knew that, you know what, even if I let the devil just tap him a little bit, he ain't gonna wake. See, some of us that are in the secret place, he knows that if you are deeply in the secret place, he knows that you won't waver. You won't give up. You won't give in. You'll be able to say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I'm here to encourage somebody today. You've been going through so much. Even right now. But I dare you to tap into the secret place. So you can say, I'm dwelling in my blessings. The Bible lets us know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Nothing in this world is greater than what's on the inside of you. Nothing. Amen. I love the fact that Jesus has my back. Mom and daddy can only go so far. Mm-hmm. That's why I used to hear it all the time. You can't go off of mom and daddy's relationship with God. You got to go on your own relationship. Because mom and daddy's prayers can only take you so far. That's why I, for example, I've taught my children how to pray because sometimes mom and daddy ain't there. Mom and daddy ain't there. My mom and my father, my mother and my father taught us how to pray. They taught us how to pray. The Bible lets us know, train up a child in the way they should go, for when they're old, they will not depart. Which means whatever you put down inside of that child, it'll be in their memory bank when they're going through the test and the trial. If we're not tapped into the secret place, when we get tapped into the secret place, don't you know you can deliver people's souls from hell? When you live the life, you are not living this life just to be living. When you become saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, and you have tapped into that secret place, you are not living for you. You are not just living for you. And I'm going to go deeper than that. You're not just living to go to heaven either. You're living so souls can be saved. Because how do I know I'm living for souls to be saved? How do I know I'm living to be? Because in Acts 1 and 8 it says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. What do I need power for? Yes, I need power to live right, but I also need power to be able to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's tapping into the secret place. But Brother Adam, those are gifts from God. Well, when you tap into the secret place, you get those gifts. And I know gifts and callings, the Bible says gifts and callings come without repentance. But when you get those gifts, you have to tap into the secret place because you got to know how to use those gifts. You got to be mentally stable enough to understand the gifts that God has given you. Even the talents that we have. See, it goes deeper than that. I'm dwelling in my blessing goes way deeper than cars and clothes. You got to be mentally, spiritually, mentally stable. Yes, I said it. Spiritually, mentally stable enough to handle this gospel, to handle the gifts. And yet not only the gifts that God gives you, but the talents that God's blessed you with. Why? Because in Colossians 3 and 17, it says, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So which means the way you live your life, you got to have a mental stability. You got to have spiritual mental stability to be able to live your life. You can't go off your flesh, but you got to go in the spirit to be able to know, to navigate through life. That's why we got to tap in to the secret place. That's why we have to stay in prayer, stay in fasting, stay reading our word, so we can say, I'm dwelling in the secret place, that we can dwell in our blessing. These spiritual things that we do, prayer, fasting, praising the Lord, worship, that's still blessings. And I'm talking about the spiritual side of it now. I'm not talking about the natural side. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. And more of everything, more than anything else, you need the Spirit to be fed. Because you need your spirit man to be fed first. Because the Bible, before you receive all of this natural stuff, your spirit man needs to be fed. Because the Bible lets us know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and what? Lose his soul. You cannot focus on the blessings that God has given you. And I'm talking about the materialistic stuff. We can't just focus on that. And there's a lot of preachers, there's a lot of pastors, and there's a lot of ministers that will tell you that when they start prophesying, or some prophesying, oh, you're going to get that new car. I very seldom hear about a person prophesying that you're going to pray more. But they talk about anointing, but you don't have, you're not talking about how to build up the anointing. The reason why, I was watching this pastor on, I was watching a Facebook video of this pastor, and he said, the reason why people are so jealous of you is because you're anointing. Yeah, people are going to hate on people that can't stand the anointing of God. They're going to hate on you. The spirit on the inside of them. But what are you doing to build up your anointing? What are you doing to not let your light go down? Because the anointing will not stay there if you just feeding your flesh all the time. Because some people, let me show you something. There are some people that think they have the anointing, and they really don't. They're going off of what they had previous. The body can mimic what you've had for so long. Uh-oh. I'm going to say it again. The body can mimic. And the body can mimic what you've had for so long. But you start listening to when you start listening to every wind and doctrine, when you start I'm not gonna pray today. I'm gonna pray tomorrow. Or I'm gonna pray in a couple of hours. The Lord told you to pray, but you waiting. No. And you slowly but surely, you're getting caught up in your job, you're getting caught up in this, and you're getting caught up in, and then all of a sudden you don't have time for God. We have to make time to tap into that secret place. Amen. I want to take this time right now that if anyone has a comment, or if there's anybody in the chat room or anybody who's listening, you can give you a chance to leave your testimony or leave a comment in Jesus' name. I thank God for this lesson on today. I'm dwelling in my blessing. Amen. I praise God for this topic today.
Amen. Does anybody have anything that they might want to say or anything? Yes, sir.
I had a comment. Yes. I do think it's necessary for us to really focus on dwelling in our blessing. And I do think it's important for people to remember what it means to truly dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Because when you are speaking in tongues, you are in that place. You are in between the throne of God and the blood of Christ. Mm-hmm. And nothing can come against you. Nothing can enter into that place. It is, in fact, the secret place. And when you're in that place, you are safe. You're secure. You are protected. And so no matter where you are, when you begin to speak in tongues, that secret place of the Most High is your dwelling place if you enter into it intentionally and you understand what it is. So I really am blessed to hear you say that. And I encourage everyone to practice being in that secret place so that you can find peace and that you can understand how powerful the Holy Spirit is. Thank you, man of God.
Amen. Amen. Does anybody else have any want to make a comment? The floor is open. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I thank God for that, because when we, and I like what Bishop Carver said, because when we tap in, and this is regards to prayer, when we pray, and I wanted to bring this out, so I'm glad Bishop Carver brought that out. Sometimes, and this is just a little nugget for everybody, for ones that do know and for ones that don't know. Amen. Sometimes when we pray, it is not always good to pray in English. And I know I got some looks like, wait a minute, what? What do you mean it's not good to pray in English? Sometimes it is not good to pray in English. And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to give you an example of why. I'm going to give you two examples. Number one, sometimes when we go into prayer, that is communication with God. And this is in the top, in dwelling in the blessings of God, dwelling in my blessing. And this is tapping into the secret places, such as Bishop Carver said. When you come into the full knowledge of what prayer is communication with God. That is your verbal communication with God. It's just like you having a conversation with your spouse. Say, for example, and I'm going to use myself. Me and my wife, we come together when bills are due. We sit down and we talk about the bills. Amen. You know, we bring all of the bills together, such as what married couples should do. Amen. Figure out the household budget and all that stuff. But if there is no communication, if I'm not talking to my wife about the importance of the household, and I leave her out and I just go off and make a, and she don't know, and she, say if I don't tell her, like, okay, we got a bill. I'm just using this as an example. Say we got a light bill, and I don't tell her that the light bill is here, and I'm just holding it from her, and I don't communicate with her, and she don't know, and the lights get shut off. Well, that's my fault. That's my fault for not communicating with my wife. And some of us, and I said that to say that, and I said, well, what does that got to do with anything? It got a lot to do with it.
Because sometimes if we do not communicate with God, yes, God knows us, but sometimes God wants us to come to him and commune with him and to talk to him. God is freely open. He wants you to come to him. I said it earlier. He so whosoever will, let him come. And he wants that communication with you. He wants that alone time with you. More than anything in this world, he wants that closeness with you. He wants that spiritual intimacy with him. And when I say spiritual intimacy, I'm not talking about any sexual type of thing. He wants that communication between you and him. He wants you to tell him about your troubles. Amen? He wants you to do that. And that's the same thing when my wife comes to me with stuff, I have to be tuned in. I have to have my kids at my school, have your listening ears on. I tell them all the time. And we have to have our listening ears on in prayer. Because sometimes when we pray, we're doing all the talking. Sometimes God wants to share something with us. And this is still dwelling in the blessings. To give that sometimes our answer might come through just falling before the face of God and just laying there, laying in his presence, basking in his Shekinah glory. That's how we grow higher. That's how we go higher heights and deeper depths in him. But if there is no communication with him, well, he knows my heart and he knows all my troubles. Yes, he knows. But he wants you to come to him. Be sincere with him. If you be sincere with God, he will be sincere with you. I'm telling you now, this is something that I know, something that I have experienced. When you are sincere with God, he is sincere with you. When you are consistent with God, he is going to be consistent with you. Amen. So I said previously that it's not good to always pray in English. It's not. Sometimes it's good to pray in your heavenly language. And I'm glad, and like I said, I'm glad Bishop Carver brought this out, because it is good to pray in our heavenly language. And this is why. Because sometimes when we pray in English, yes, and I have a story on this. Sometimes when we pray in English, not only does the Lord hear us, but the devil hears us too. Amen. But when you pray in your heavenly language, the devil does not understand what you are saying unto God. That's one reason why we need the Holy Ghost. Because when you speak in tongues, as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, that is your heavenly language. And we need the Holy Ghost. The tongues is there. See, let me break this down. The tongues are there for three reasons. Number one, to let us know that we have the Holy Ghost. That's the evidence. With the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's why they say evidence of speaking in tongues. To let us know that God's Spirit is on the inside of us. Why? Because the Bible says that our tongue is the most deadliest member. He comes and tames the tongue. The tongue is a deadly, deadly weapon. Our tongue can kill. A tongue can take out armies. Have you ever, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the power of life, the power of death and life lie in the what? The power of the what? The tongue. So he comes and tames the tongue. He comes and tames that most unruly member of our bodies. Amen. So when we speak in our heavenly language, that's number one, to let us know that we have the Holy Ghost. Number two is, like I said, when we speak in our heavenly language, when we pray in our heavenly language, when we pray, it is for God to understand us and to blot out the enemy. The enemy does not understand what you're telling God, because that is a secret place in God. You have tapped into the secret place in God, and the devil can't come near it. It's just like this. It's just like a person. I don't know a lick of Spanish. Let me give you this example. If I'm sitting somewhere and I got two people that speak Spanish and I don't know a lick of Spanish, amen. I'm sitting there like I don't know what y'all saying. I know y'all saying something because I see your lips moving. But I don't know what you're saying. That's the same thing with the devil. When you are in communication with God and you are speaking in your heavenly language, you are praying in your heavenly language, God and you understand that conversation. Amen. The third reason is because when we go into intercessory prayer revolves around your heavenly language. When you start praying in intercessory prayer, you will go deep into your heavenly language. And in intercessory prayers, when you start praying for people that you don't even know, you don't have to know about their situation. You don't have to know about their problem. You don't even have to know them personally. But you start interceding for people's problems. God will start praying. God will start speaking through you. Amen. So those are just some. Those are just three. But there's more. But those are just three things. Three of the basics. Amen. But when you, and I'm gonna use this story for example. My father, one day, talking about praying in your heavenly language. Why it's good to sometimes pray in your heavenly language and not always good to pray in English. I'm going to tell you why. Because my father, one time, was talking to one of my relatives. And this relative was saying that, I'm saved. And my father began to ask them, well, how do you know that you're saved? And this relative told him, they were like, well, I know I'm saved because I asked the Lord to wake me up at a certain time. And he did. And that's how I know I'm saved. And my father began to ask them, well, okay, when you prayed this prayer, did you pray in English? And they said, yes. And my father began to say, well, don't you think that when you pray that prayer, not only did the Lord hear you, but don't you think the devil heard you too? And the devil is so shrewd that he will come in and make it seem like it's God. He'll make something fall off the table to make, even though he knows you're not saved. And that person was just looking and didn't have a word to say. And this person that I'm talking about, my family member, I love this person very dearly. Love them. Love them life. But I will say, we need to tap in to that secret place. Amen. We need to go beyond the call of duty when it comes to our relationship with Christ. Like I said earlier, are we doing more than what we can do? Are we just doing the bare minimum because we've been saved for so long? Are we doing the bare minimum because, well, you know, I've been saved for this many years and I need a, I've literally heard somebody say they need a break. This was a saint. And they had been saved longer than me. And one day we had a church service. This was years ago. We had a church service and they was like, well, I'm not going to church today. I'm just not going. I'm too tired to go. I'm too tired. I'm like, okay. I'm too tired. I need a break. What you need a break from? Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, like, what you need a break from? Like, well, I'm tired because I've been going to work and everything and da-da-da-da, doing this, running. And I'm like, wait a minute. And in my head, I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. You need a break from God. Then this is the thing. This is why I say it. We focus more on, some people focus more on the blessings than the person, than the God that gave them the blessing. We focus more on the blessings than the blessing. Uh-oh, y'all didn't catch that. We focus more on the blessings than we do the blessing. One blessing, Jesus Christ. How can a person, and it dawned on me, I was like, wait a minute, how can a person get tired of wanting to come to church? How can a person, because you've been to work, okay, there's a lot of people that go to work, but if God did not bless you with that job, what would be your excuse? If God was to snatch your job up like that, or God was to snatch up that car like that, what would be your excuse then? Job said it best. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sometimes our blessings, that's why we read in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, our iniquities separate us from God. The things that we do can separate us from God. Now, I'm going to tell you this, especially the day and age that we're living in now, after COVID and all of this stuff that's going on, we need to be in the church house every chance that we get, because from now to back in the day, there's not a lot of church money. I'm going to tell you that now, especially after COVID. They doing online everything now. Everything is at home. But you know what? The Bible lets me know. Not just he that dwelleth in the secret place, but I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I've said this before. You know what? there's a lot of people, there's some, I ain't going to say a lot of people, but there's some people that say, and I'm going to go there. There's some people that say, well, I don't need to go to church to have a relationship with God. I'm so sick of that lie. Yes, you do. Well, the church is in me. Well, if the church is in you, which is God, if the church is in you, you need to go to his house. It will lead you to his house. Well, I can praise him at home. I can read my Bible at home. You sure can. And there's nothing wrong with that. But also, the Bible also says, forsake not the assembly of the brethren. Uh-oh. And that's Bible. That's not Adam. That's the Word of God. Forsake not the assembly of the brethren. You don't believe me? Look it up. Look it up. I'm going to let you look it up. I was talking to another relative of mine about a month or two ago, and they were saying about this one, these preachers, these television evangelists, and I don't watch many of them. I actually hardly ever watch them. And I might glance at them once or twice just to see what's going on in the times that we're living in. Because the Bible says, the Bible lets me know them that labor among you. It says, you got a word for everything, Adam. No, I'm just saying, know them that labor among you. I don't know T.D. Jakes. I've never met that man before in my life. And I'm not coming down on T.D. Jakes. I'm not doing that. But I don't know them. Just because they write books and just because they did, no. I know Pastor William Tuggle. I know his life. I know Bishop Harris. I know his life. I know First Lady Cosette Tuggle. I know her life. Know them that labor among you. But I don't know what they, and you might say, well, you're not around your parents 24/7. I know you're right, I'm not. But the same life that they've lived now is the same life that they've lived forever. And I know them. I knew Pastor Dorothy McGordon. I knew her. Praying woman of God. The greatest pastor and the best pastor in the world is Pastor Dorothy J. McGordon. Love you to life. She'd be one of those people that will tell you when you need to be told. And that's what that, but I don't, and I'm saying this to say this. I know them that labor among me. Amen. But when we tap in, I'm going to let that go. But when we tap into the secret place, we are in a place that we need to be at. We are in a place of contentment. We are in a place of full restoration. And as a minister, and I haven't been ministering that long. At least I don't believe so. And you know what?
I don't even, I'm not caught up in titles and all that stuff. I don't care about all that. That's not something that's real big on in my eyesight. Just call me Adam and I'm good. But I love the Lord and I want to be close to him. If you didn't get anything out of this at all, which I hope you did, but out of all of that I've said, and out of all that was said, draw the main thing. We're going to keep the main thing the main thing. As Pastor Dorothy Matt Gordon used to say, we're going to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is this, is that we got to get closer to God like never before, so that we can say we're dwelling in our blessings. Don't focus on the materialistic stuff. That'll come as long as you are tapped into God. I said it before and I'll say it again. If you are consistent with God, he will be consistent with you. I'm going to say it one more time, and then we're going to go. If you are consistent with God, he will be consistent with you. Amen. I pray that you've gotten something out of this. I pray that you will tap into your secret place. And I want you, and you know what? You don't have to stop reading Psalms 91. Finish reading it, because I know we're done. But read Psalms 91, verses 1 through 10. Amen. Finish reading it. The Lord, I want to say this in these last few minutes because I'm done today. But the Lord has blessed very, very mightily in my life. I thank God I am in the middle of a transition with my podcast. We are moving the podcast, and the Lord has allowed us to move the podcast into a location, into our own permanent location, finally. So starting May 1st, we will be in our permanent location in Jesus' name, and I'll you can follow me on Facebook about that, because we're going to redo the Summit Internet Radio podcast the podcast that is done every Monday. I know that there's some old episodes on there, and we haven't done a new episode because we were in the middle of transition, so we've just been doing the radio show on Saturdays. But we are in the middle of transition, and we are finally finishing up, me and a partner of mine that the Lord has blessed me to be partners with. So I will give you further information on that when we finish up the transition, in Jesus' name. But make sure you go to Spotify right there, the Summit Internet Radio Podcast. In Jesus' name, where we bring forth a word, bring forth a topic every Monday, in Jesus' name, and continue to listen to the Spirit Alive Network. I don't want to forget that. Listen to the Spirit Alive Network, but we got some great shows coming for you every single week, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you heard, Bishop Lester Carver, he's on my show a lot. He tunes in to my show a lot. I thank God for him. He is part of the family of the Spirit Alive Network. We have our very own founder, Apostle Cook, who does a great dynamic show on Mondays, in Jesus' name. We have Apostle Flowers, amen. Pastor Carver, in Jesus' name. Bishop Carver's lovely wife, she does a show. So we have very great men and women of God that come on here and will bring forth to you a mighty word of God, and that will get to the nitty and the grit, and will give you the nitty and the gritty of the word of God. That's something that my great-grandmother used to tell me, get to the nitty and the gritty of it, amen. And we will give you the word of God, amen, in Jesus' name. And continue to listen on Saturdays to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. Hallelujah. And as it states in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. This is the only way to see heaven one day. Hallelujah. We praise God for being here. God bless you. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. This is the show that gets your weekend started off right. Hallelujah. And this is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. This is the Spirit Alive Network, where you can be ye transformed, in Jesus' name. God bless you, in Jesus' name.